Hey, what's up, guys, and welcome to another episode of Let's Get Real with me, Brandon Ho, and today we got a very special guest with us. She's a very good friend of mine, but before that, we got to roll that awesome, awesome intro. So, let's not waste any time. Here we go. That's right. Now, I mentioned that we have a very special guest. I've known this girl for quite a number of years, to be honest with you. And we've also worked together once in a while. We work in the same industry. She's also a fellow social media influencer. But she is, I would say, 10 times more talented than me because she can dance. She can sing as well.
You kind of can also.
I kind of can.
Kind of can dance as well,
right, I guess.
Phoebe?
Yeah, don't answer that, B. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, please tell me welcome for the first time on the set of Let's Get Real. Give it up for Miss Carice Au.
Yay. Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Carice, first of all, I just want to say thank you so much for coming. We were supposed to have you
last year.
That's right. I contacted and we connected with each other last year. But obviously something happened, which I know I believe that we can also talk about 1 year later. And unfortunately you couldn't make it, and that's why you're here today in season three. But still, we believe that God's timing is perfect and is never out of his time. So we want to get straight down to business. We've known each other for quite a number of years now.
I think maybe in 2014.
Probably in 2014. It's 2022. 7 years, really? Got that long?
I think so, yeah.
No lah.
Yes. 2014, 2015. Got I think. Because I know your sister first, right?
Is that so?
Yeah.
Wow, this is a very small world.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, my goodness. How are you doing today, Carice? How are you?
Today? Good. Very excited, actually. I felt very... I was looking forward to this. So... overwhelmed a little bit.
A little bit overwhelmed.
Maybe slightly nervous, but I... when I'm here, I looked at everybody. I was like, okay, this is just like another catch-up
sort of thing. It is another catch-up. It's very casual. And I'm so happy that you're willing to do this. I'm so happy that the first time I invited you, honestly, Carice, you were super on. You said yes immediately.
Yes, I did.
And that's amazing, by the way. That humility to just quickly say yes, that's something I really do admire. Now, we want to get straight down to business. A lot of people know you as, you know, this girl on YouTube. You know, you're a singer. You've got your own songs and you also dance. And you're always on Instagram and things like that. But today, because of the show, the premise of the show, we want to kind of strip all that away. And we want to get to know you as Miss Carice Au, not the influencer, not the YouTuber and all those kinds of titles.
Mrs., okay? Mrs.
Yes. Mrs. Daryl Tan.
Oh, Mrs. Carice
Au. Okay la. Still okay la, right? Still okay. Yeah, but we want to get to know Carice Au as Carice Au, right? So to do that, I think one of the most important things that I always ask my guests is we want to do a little throwback. We want to rewind back all the way to when Carice Au was just a little girl. Carice Au was just a very young, sweet girl. And and I want to know what your background was like. What was growing up for you like in your childhood years? Things like, were your parents Christians? Even were your parents strict even? But what was it like growing up for Carice Au?
Yeah, my parents, they are Christians. So I was brought up in a Christian family. So I knew Jesus. Yeah. I knew about God ever since I was a baby, right?
Right.
So Sunday school all the way. So I'm a... what you love?
No, because we share the same background. I can totally relate to whatever you're saying. Because I grew up the same as you.
Parents strict, but not too strict with me because they actually let me date when I was like 13.
No.
I know.
Your parents are not strict at all, that means.
But they're strict with other things like until now. My mom told me like you cannot drink alcohol, okay? You can't. I'm like, Mom, hey, but Jesus, 31 and Jesus drank wine.
Yeah, he turned water into wine. His
I
first
know,
miracle.
Right?
You got to show her, not the Bible. You didn't show her, is it?
She's just funny. She's just funny. So it's very, very funny growing up.
Are you local? Are you from...
So I was actually born in KL. So I speak Cantonese.
Right.
But I only moved up to Penang when I was 10. So my IC used to say... Pulau Pinang lah, right? But then I can't speak Hokkien because my family, we are Cantonese people. And sometimes we speak rojak at home, we speak Malay, we speak English. And yeah, so moving to Penang, it was kind of like a culture shock also because we didn't know the language. Even the Malay is a little bit weird, you know, they have that slang.
The Hokkien is a bit different as
Hokkien.
Well.
Hokkien. So moving up there was a challenge lah. But I think it had to be done because my dad was working there.
Oh, so you moved because of your dad's work.
Yes, it was his work and he was traveling every weekend. So that was tough on him, lah. So we decided, they decided kind of move everybody.
Right. And then, are they staying in KL now? Or are they in Penang?
They're based in Penang, but they come over to KL a lot because of my brother's kids. So they help out.
So they help to take care.
Yeah, but my sister still in Penang.
Right, right. So basically only you.
Me and my brother.
Yeah, you and your brother are in KL. The rest of you. So every Chinese New Year, you have to go back, lah.
Kind of, but now that I'm married.
You have to go to Daryl's place.
But it's just nearby, lah. It's just in PJ. He's a PJ boy through and through. So.
Yeah, okay. Actually, you're a city girl as well.
Yes, so I am.
It's safe to say, Carice, that you grew up in a very Christian environment. You are actually, we have very similar backgrounds, I would say, because I grew up in a very Christian family as well. Parents went to church, then I follow as well.
Did you serve in the worship ministry too?
All the time. Yeah,
all
yeah.
The time. If you're not Were in you guitar, in every play?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, every single play.
Every play.
Christmas Easter. Yeah. Man.
Good Friday. No
brings back so many memories. Right now, yeah, you know, my friend was a donkey, some more. Man, interesting stuff. Yeah, but great stories because you are a second generation Christian. You're just like me.
Yes.
And here's the thing about second generation Christians. I have many friends who are also same with us. But just like me, although we grew up in a Christian environment where we go to church, we hear the name Jesus week in and week out. You probably went to like youth, you got your own CG, like you said, you serve, you're in a place and things like that. May I ask if was when you first heard the name Jesus, how did you react to that? Because a lot of us second generation Christians, God is a God in church, and we never really take God seriously until there must be some point in our lives where God becomes a very personal thing instead, where Jesus, now we acknowledge him as my Lord and Savior, not my parents' Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
Was there something like that for you?
100%, because when we grew up, we were told who to believe what, right?
Yes.
We didn't have our own, I guess, thinking, or we don't have.
You didn't arrive to it yourself.
Experience, yeah. I guess, because we were just too young, right? Mm-hmm. We were just living our own little world. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, that turning point was when I was 12, when I wanted to get baptized. So, and it was like a peer pressure thing because my friends
were
all getting baptized, right? And their parents were so chill with it.
Right.
But my dad made it so hard for me. He was like, no, I don't think you're ready. But I was like,
are you sure he said it with that much sass though? I don't think you're ready.
But yeah, he didn't believe that I had that, I guess,
conviction.
Understanding and conviction to get baptized at that age. But because my friends were getting baptized and I don't want to be the odd one out, right? So I was like, no, Dad, I'm ready. I'm 100% ready. And he gave me an ultimatum. He was like, okay, if you really want to get baptized, before the baptism day, you have to do this book, some catechism book, with me every Sunday night.
Every Sunday night,
I think maybe for 2 months. 8 weeks of that. So kind of like Bible study.
Well, I guess it's good father, daughter.
Yeah, but I was like, why did you make it so hard? Like my other friends, they just got the approval. Yeah, go ahead, get baptized. But I have to do eight sessions with him, you know? But looking back right now, I said this in my speech also during my wedding. I was like, it was the best 8 weeks with my dad. Because I got to know him as my earthly father.
Yeah.
And then I developed like a deeper understanding about Christ and his sacrifices and what it means to be baptized, to be whole again, to be a new creation. So I was like, I think it was the best decision ever.
That's fantastic.
And I got baptized.
And you did get baptized, lah.
I graduated.
Nice. I think if your dad is listening and watching right now, I'm sure he's very proud of that moment as well. He probably didn't think of the implication it had on his daughter. But I think hearing you say that, I'm sure he really brings great warmth to his heart. So you got baptized at 12 years old. Now, 12 years old, today, you know, we're roughly the same age. We're not going to say what the age is, but 12 years old is probably quite some time ago. Now, I'm going to fast forward from 12 years old all the way up to maybe even your uni days.
Uni days.
Yeah.
Oh,
because,
the dark
Carice,
days.
Now, we had a phone conversation, by the way, before we do interview, as I do with a lot of my guests. And we understand as Christians or even second generation Christians, it's not a bed of roses all the time. You don't walk on your Christian journey and it's a high all the time, right? And I can see you already agreeing with me. And we've had those moments when we went through the lowest of lows as well. Mm. And you probably had to go through maybe even some months more than once.
Mm.
So when you say the dark days, can you elaborate? What do you mean?
I think for me, it was when I moved to Vietnam, when I went to international school there.
I'm sorry, so you went to Vietnam?
Yeah, I moved to Vietnam because of my dad's work. So what happened was a little bit of backstory. After SPM, I worked really hard. I scored straight A's. I got a full scholarship down here in KDU.
Okay.
But one day, my mom just sat me down and said, "Hi, we are moving to Vietnam." I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna miss you and Dad." It's like, she said, "No, you are coming. Yeah, you are coming a lot." And I was like, "Why Vietnam? It's so random. What about my scholarship?
Yeah,
like in KL, we don't think you are old enough to be living in KL by yourself." I think I was 17, 18 now back then. Right? 18 after getting your SPM results. So I was like, "Then why did I work so hard for Mom?" So I moved to Vietnam. And that's where I was exposed to the whole international school culture. So it was quite a shock to me. So among other things, like even the education system, it really challenged me. Like even English was hard for me. And from a girl who's like the top scorer in school, always getting number one, I felt so stupid when I was in Vietnam, international school, because the way they were taught is just so different. And I think because of that experience, my relationship with God also spiraled down because I felt like this is such a challenge, you know, it's just too much. But looking back, it was such a humbling experience. I think I was put there for a reason because maybe I was on my high horse for so many years, right? Going to school here. So when I was there, I think God really challenged me. But because being a rebellious kid also, I didn't embrace the challenge, but I just say, okay, if you want to make it so hard, I'm just going to live my own life.
Yeah. So if you want to make it hard, I'm going to match you.
Correct. Then I'll just ignore you then. Okay. Then I started hanging out with friends and I went to a lot of house parties, went to clubs. Mm. Sorry, Mom and Dad.
Please don't tell me they're listening to this. Surely.
Maybe they would, but I think you know. They knew it in their heart.
To Carrie's our confessions confession letters confession to her parents. Like, this is an expose instead now. It's turned into. But Mommy and Daddy, you know, I'm sure you're very proud of your daughter.
I came out from that already.
Wait, how many years were you in Vietnam though?
2.5 years.
So 2.5 years of international school.
International school.
Did it affect, I don't know, because like you said, you came from top scorer and then you went to international school and you felt very small and stupid. Did it take a hit on your self-esteem or did it take a hit on your self-confidence?
100%. From being able to write an essay with one eye closed right here, one eye closed, I couldn't even write anything there because they studied real literature. Like novels, World War poems, Shakespeare plays. I couldn't get it. It was just so hard for me because I think they were encouraged to think out of the box. But over here, we were spoon-fed most of the time.
Yeah.
And our literature book is like this thin.
Robinson Crusoe. Life's Brief Candle.
So it was definitely... It was a humbling experience.
And during that time, can I safely assume that you weren't going to...
I was, but I was falling asleep behind in church. So a lot of times, because we also, I think for the first year, we didn't go to like a proper church. It was very difficult to find an English church with like similar people, like Asian, Singaporean, Malaysian kind. But we were going to sort of like this home church sort of thing. So a few families gather around and then they would just play a sermon. Me and some of, we were just falling asleep at the back. That was me for 2.5 years.
All right. Mm. So take me through this now. Now you go, you've gone to Vietnam. You were there for 2.5 years, and you probably say like that's one of the lowest points in your Christian walk, at least with God, where you just completely ignored Him. Now what happens after 2.5 years? Do you come back to Malaysia? Do you get your dad get sent back to Penang or KL or something? Or,
he retired. Okay. We moved back to Penang, and then I started to apply for uni in KL. So that's when I got accepted to Taylor's. Mm-hmm. And slowly, slowly, then I started to go back to church. I was church hopping first.
And it was a struggle to go back to church. Was it difficult for you?
Yes. I think I didn't go to church for like a good 6 months or so. I was just like, if I feel like it, then I go. So I think I was 20 when I was back in KL. Until I found a church, and then I was very comfortable there. I started serving there too. Then slowly lah. And then I went cold turkey. I never clubbed again. So it's quite a good thing. You go hard and then you just stop.
I'm so tempted to ask how hard, but I feel like better for the sake of Mr. and Mrs.
I will
Ow.
Tell you after we hit stop. Okay.
But that's good, right? Because there is always for us, I feel like for me there was a moment in my life where I really turned back to God. And that point of time onwards, I would say I was very committed. And for me it was when I was 18 years old. That was for me. And for you it's, I think like you said, about 20 years old, 21 years old. Was it a gradual thing? I mean, a lot of people have different journeys, different. Was it something that is like very sudden for you, and you just decided, okay, Lord, I'm done with those clubbing days. I'm done. You know, I've tasted and seen. I know it's, you know, I'm done with it. I'm gonna come back to you, to where you are.
I think it was very gradual for me. Very gradual. Slowly, slowly. Then I started to go to church, started serving, and then just receiving a lot of signs from God saying like, it's time for you to come home, child. You know, that sort of thing. And then I met Daryl, who I guess supported my faith because he's a Christian as well. And I think from then on until now,
And that's probably when also you started your career. You've been in this industry for quite a number of years now. Just out of curiosity, right? What do your parents think of your career? Just one thing to know. I mean, this is just out of the blue, but I kind of just want to know.
They weren't supportive, even though they say they're okay now. But when I was just starting, they weren't supportive at all because they don't see a future in it. And it's, I don't blame them. They're so old school from that generation. Content creator, what is that on a resume? You know, like what degree is that?
It's not accountant.
It's not accountant. What? It's not lawyer. No, it's not doctor.
Yeah. So they find it hard to accept.
Very hard. When I was, I think, this was, when I was still in church. I think I remember an uncle or an auntie like coming up to me and said, "Chris, I saw your singing covers, your music covers on YouTube. Very good, huh?" And then my mom would just pop up from nowhere and say, "Oh, it's just her hobby." It's nothing serious. It's just her hobby, okay? She's just doing it for fun. So, I think the turning point was when I finally, I moved out. I was living independently in KL. And when I stopped taking money from them. And then I think they were just like, okay, let's see how long she can survive.
Oh, you mean they still had that mentality?
Of course, 100%. Until I think maybe my Disney gig in 2017.
Right.
That's when they're like, oh, she's on TV. This is good.
Because TV is something they know, right?
It's tangible, right? They can see it with their own eyes. So I think, only in 2017 that they started to slowly accept that this is my job.
Right.
This is my career.
Yeah.
But after that, they were very supportive. Like,
fantastic.
They would come to every concert, like every performance. They visited me on set. My mom stayed until 3 a.m. with me one time. Whoa. I was shooting for so long. So, yeah.
That's fantastic. Now, that's great to know that, you know, you see, I think it's a journey not just for you, Chris, but I kind of sense that it's been a journey for your
parents.
Your whole family as a whole. For your parents and as a family, even to see their daughter. Yeah, because I don't know about your siblings. I don't know about what, do they do more regular jobs?
Yeah, okay, my sister, she has a PhD. She's Dr. Rebecca.
Oh, you failure.
I know. She's the smart one. And my brother is an engineer.
Oh my gosh.
And then they have
me. And you're making videos and oh gosh.
Yeah. I know.
But I can understand how you feel. And I'm so glad to hear that they're very supportive today. Like, you know, they know, okay, my girl's got it already. So that's fantastic. Now, you spoke a little bit about Daryl when you met Daryl. And I believe now also they have a little bit more hands up because finally you're married, right?
Bye-bye. They're like, okay.
She is
your problem, Daryl.
So now that you're married, right? So you've gone through his hand and you met Daryl. Mm. And, you know, you also said just now that, just to reiterate what you said, that he has been very supportive, not just of your career, but also your walk with God in your life. You know, he's been the rock. And that's what you mentioned to me over our conversations as well. So something, you know, I hope you're comfortable talking with this. And the reason why we couldn't get you last year when we invited you for season two, because you and Daryl, you went through a miscarriage.
Correct.
So you were trying to conceive and you went through this miscarriage. And what happened? Can you share with us what happened? Because when you told me, to be honest with you, I also didn't really know how to respond. I just said, it's okay, never mind. Okay. Next time we can do this again. Mm. So tell me what happened exactly last year.
So we started trying, I think, in September. We weren't very serious, but we got pregnant pretty quickly. So that's why we're very thankful for that, lah.
Mm-hmm.
But then after going for our first checkup, so we actually saw the baby's heartbeat. We heard the baby's heartbeat. We were very happy, very ecstatic. But the doctor kind of told us that the heartbeat is a little bit slow. So usually it
weak
should
or
be
slow.
Slow. So slow. Usually supposed to be 100 BPM above.
Oh, okay.
Above 100 BPM.
Okay.
But ours, I think it was 92 BPM. So it was a little bit alarming, but she wasn't very she didn't show any signs of panic or she wasn't very worried. She just said, "Okay, you go back home, take these supplements, and then come back in 2 weeks' time." So we did that. But when we went to see her, we were very excited. We were like, "Oh, I bet it's bigger now. You know, I bet the heartbeat would be stronger now." And that's when she revealed, like, "So sorry, I can't. I think this is a missed miscarriage," they call it. And when she turned on the heartbeat audio, it was very faint. It was very weak. So I always heard about miscarriages. Even within my family, I had like a family member who had a miscarriage. But I wouldn't imagine that it would happen to me. So we were really shocked then. And then, you know, then I remember going to a second opinion on a Monday. But between that checkup and the second opinion checkup, we had the whole weekend to decide, you know, whether we want...
A whole weekend is just 2 days, actually. It's not that long.
But with like that kind of feeling, uncertainty, you're confused. You don't know what happened. For me, I think it was more of guilt. Like, what did I do? What did I eat? Did I walk too much? Did I sit too much, stand too much? Or did I eat something that would cause the miscarriage? I think it's a lot of guilt from my end. Yeah, it was a very tough weekend. And then we were crying and crying. I think it was so difficult. And I remember playing playing like Christian songs. And then at the same time, relieving the moment. I was just asking God, like, why me?
Yep.
A lot.
Yep.
And why did you give us hope and then take it away? I think that weekend was very difficult. But when we found out that the heartbeat was gone during the second opinion, we felt relieved in a way because we didn't know what to do. We cannot decide anything. Because if we did a DNC...
What is a DNC?
DNC is a surgery, dilatation and curettage. So it's the removal of the embryo and the fetus and the uterus lining. If you have a miscarriage, you can go through that surgery. So we didn't know what to do. So we were so helpless. I think that's the word to describe what we felt then. And just helpless, just totally out of control. And you know me, being out of control is such an uncomfortable situation. Mm. I think for anybody also. Because we as humans, we want things to go as planned.
Yeah.
Whatever that is in our control, we want to control it. But I think that during that one whole month, I just felt like, oh, God is really teaching me to completely trust Him, rely on Him, despite the hurt, the pain. So that was very tough.
I think you pointed out a very good point that despite the hurt and the pain, because the thing is, for me, when I hear this story, how do you, you know, because as Christians, we believe God is a good God. Mm. You know, God is a God who loves you. And we hear Jeremiah 29, for I know the plans I have for you, you know, plans to give you a hope and prosper you, give you a hope and a future. And then something like this hits you where, you know, you can even hear the heartbeat when you first go. And like you said, God gave you this hope.
Yeah.
And then
To take it away.
Mm. Now, how do you reconcile knowing that you've been taught God is a good God? And then having this, like you just said, God giving you this hope and then taking it away. How, in your, you know, it's not easy, but how do you?
I think right now, I believe that even if you're a Christian, your journey will not be a bed of roses. Mm-hmm. And God never actually promised us smooth sailing journey until we die. Yeah. Yeah? Look at Job. So
cannot compare
to Job. So when I when I'm reminded of Job's story, I'm like, okay, if he can still praise God, I can too, you know, in this kind of in moments like this. And I think looking back, it is God's way of letting me experience. He chose me to experience these things so I can share my testimony and like today.
Mm. Would you say there was any point in that time where you felt like God has abandoned you, God has left me, you know, and were you even depressed at any point? Or you were, say, God, it's okay, I can still rely.
I was very angry at God. I could say that. I was crying almost every day. I was just asking, why me? Just pure anger. But when I told Daryl, I was like, I'm just so angry at God. He would say, yeah, just be angry at Him. Just cry out to Him. Tell Him how you feel. And I did that. And I think at the end of the day, it's just a shift of perspective as well.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, it takes time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say I read one Bible verse and then I'm like, oh, I feel better now. It wasn't even a linear healing journey. Mm. It was really up and down like that, like graph. And but I think Daryl and I, we have very good support system around us too. We have our premarital counselors who came right after a hearing that we had a miscarriage, prayed for us. They were there every step of the way. Our family members, our little church community as well. They kept us in their prayers. And I think that really helped because I don't think anybody should go through a miscarriage alone.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people think that it's a taboo.
Yeah.
It's like an embarrassing story that they just don't have the courage to share.
Mm.
Because it sounds like your body failed you.
Yeah.
And if you...
And I think in many ways, the guilt as well. You feel like you failed your child.
Yes. So for me, if anybody's going through any a miscarriage right now, don't be afraid to share it with the people that you know.
Yeah.
Have a good support system. I think that really helped our healing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Karis, you talk about your miscarriage and we spoke over the phone. Hopefully, it's not too early to bring this up, but from our phone conversation, I know you sound much more hopeful right now and you can smile about it and you can tell me, hey, God still got my back, you know, and I still believe and I trust in Him. You haven't told anyone yet, but you gave me permission to do so, but you went through yet another miscarriage.
Correct, a second miscarriage.
You went through a second miscarriage just this year.
Just this year, just 2 months ago.
And how was that like?
In June.
Because I imagine sitting here across you, you are smiling right now, but I can imagine it like a boomerang almost.
Yep.
Where you throw the boomerang.
It's like a deja vu.
Exactly. And it's already there and you see the boomerang already far away from you and now you suffer.
It came back, yeah.
A second miscarriage and the boomerang just comes in and hits you.
Yep. So this was also another challenge that happened to us. We even, we were so excited, we even planned for a gender reveal during our wedding.
Yeah.
But you know, it happened in June. For me, I think I kind of detached from the pregnancy quite early on because during the scans, it was too small. The gestational age was too small than what I've calculated. So I've done a lot of research, right? Because, you know, after having like one miscarriage, I did a lot of research, read a lot of articles. Daryl did too. Mm. So for me, sometimes we call it like a mother's instinct. Mm-hmm. So I felt like it was a bit off already. So I kind of slowly detach myself, like not to have a lot of hope, which is very bad because, you know, it's the miracle of life.
Right.
But true enough, I think after a bleeding episode, I think there was just one night, Daryl and I, we were just chilling on the couch and then I had spotting, some spotting. And then Daryl rushed me to the emergency room, tried to scan. It looked okay. But then after a few days, we confirmed that it was a second miscarriage. Mm. But I was quite prepared for it.
Mm. So it didn't affect you as much as it did the first?
Yeah. I think because of the first experience, I kind of knew what to expect. Mm. The disappointment. It's like not my first rodeo, you know, that sort of deal.
Right.
But it still hurt.
Yeah.
Up until today, when I look back, like, you know, it still hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, maybe I haven't grieved properly. I don't know. But it's a very slow process.
Mm. Mm. Now, you mentioned the name Daryl a lot as well. And of course, it's important to have a partner throughout these kind of experiences because going through it alone, not just any Christian, no one should have to go through this alone. Having a community is important. Having that support system is important. And one of them is, of course, your husband, Daryl.
Yep.
Now, as husband and wife, right, as husband and wife, as a couple, how has your relationship been taken to the next level in terms of your faith being challenged as a couple? As individuals, it's already so tough.
Yep.
But to go through it as husband and wife, how did that challenge your faith as a couple?
I don't think it challenged us.
Mm-hmm.
If not, I think it made us closer than ever because we are all that we have in this journey. And I think that is the good thing about the miscarriages. It really toughened up Daryl and I, and it strengthened our relationship, I feel, because it's just going through so many disappointments and all these sudden emergencies. So for me, I felt like he's definitely my pillar of strength, and that God has placed him in my life for a reason.
Mm.
And I think I'm very thankful for Daryl. Mm. Like, in this whole process, he has helped me so much. Yeah. Mm.
Now, Carice, I just want to say a big, big thank you for sharing that. It's not easy. It's a very courageous thing to do and something I do admire a lot because I have a lot of respect for that. Now, we're slowly running out of time, but I think before I let you go, is it okay for me to pray for you?
Of course.
Before I let you go?
Yes, please.
Yeah? Can we just pray for Carice right now, yeah? Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for my sister Carice, Lord. We thank you for her life. We thank you for her relationship with you. We thank you for her husband, Daryl, as well, Lord. And we don't know, Lord Jesus, I believe no man can give a satisfactory answer as to why this has happened to her. But Lord Jesus, you have helped her, Lord, in her faith, Lord, to see even the silver lining, Lord, to keep her faith intact, Lord Jesus, that she still calls on to your name, Lord, and she still declares you as her Lord and her God and her Savior, Lord. And we thank you for that faith, Lord, that you built in her and Daryl, Lord. And even right now, Lord Jesus, even after going through two miscarriages, Lord Jesus, we just still want to declare that you are a good God, Lord, that your character, Lord, who you are is never change and it will never change, Lord Jesus. And we still hold on to the promise, Lord, that you have good plans for your children, Lord. And that includes Carice and her husband, Lord. So even right now, Lord, I just want to pray over Carice, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, you will help her to conceive, Lord Jesus, that even after doing this, Lord, as she and Daryl tries, Lord, we pray you bless her, Lord Jesus. You bless her with a child, oh Lord, that this child will come from you, Lord, and Carice and Daryl, they will know, Lord Jesus, that this baby is directly, Lord, from the throne of grace, Lord, and that you have blessed them with a child, Lord Jesus. So I pray, Lord Jesus, for a very healthy body, Lord Jesus, for Carice, for Daryl, Lord, for the both of them, Lord Jesus, and they will honor you, Lord Jesus, with this child, Lord, and this child will be dedicated to you as they dedicate their lives as mommy and daddy also to you, and as husband and wife. Use them mightily, Lord Jesus. Use Carice in the marketplace, Lord, to glorify your name, Lord Jesus. Use her, Lord Jesus, to be salt, Lord Jesus, of the earth, light of the world, Lord Jesus, in everything that she does. We thank you for her life, Lord. We pray that you bless her, Lord Jesus, and her marriage, Lord. Keep them strong and healthy, Lord Jesus. Keep them united in Christ, Lord, that you are the center of their marriage. We pray and we bless the both of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Carice, before I let you go, any last words, anything the Holy Spirit impresses upon your heart, anything you want to say, whatever it is, yeah, go for it, please.
Trust God. Even through your challenges, I think sometimes we want things like a microwave. We want it fast. We want it now. But, you know, God says, nope, do it through a crock pot. Slow, steady, and through me.
Amen. Thank you so much, Carice, for coming on the show. Thank you so much for being
a guest.
Thank
you for having
me. I'm very, very blessed. I think all of us are very privileged to have you here to share your story. To the rest of you guys, if you guys want to hear more of such stories, you can subscribe to us on YouTube. It's Let's Get Real. And you can follow us on Instagram, on Facebook as well. You can listen to us on Spotify and all the major podcast platforms as well. We want to say thank you so much once again, Carice. God bless all of you. And don't forget, you can join our Discord server as well. We've got a great community there for you to just grow with and just do life with. Until next time, my name is Brandon, and this has been Carice Al, and this has been Let's Get Real here. Bye-bye. You can say bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to yet another episode of our podcast. We believe and trust that you'll be inspired, blessed, and encouraged by this episode.
And if you'd like to see more episodes like this, be sure to subscribe to our channel, like this video, and share it with your friends.
Also, we have a Discord community where you can join, have fun, and even seek for prayer. And of course, if you want to support this ministry, this studio, and keep us going, you can drop your love gifts at the bank details that you see on your screens right now.
Be sure to earmark Let's Get Real or LGR so that we know that your giving will be used for this show.
Thank you so much in advance. Until next time, God bless.